Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, which is a website, a podcast, and a mobile app. So we are almost to the holidays, kind of a fun time. And going through a divorce during the holidays, though, is not a fun time. And I think divorce in general is probably one of the biggest stressors I've ever been through in my life. Really, around the holidays, magnified it. And it's also stressful for children. It's stressful for parents thinking about how their children are being affected. So I want to talk about strategies in helping kids through divorce, six strategies in particular. To talk about this with me, I have a great guest. His name is Don Gordon. He's a PhD and the executive director for the Center of Divorce Education. So, hi, Don.
Hey, Jackie.
Nice to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks. Nice to be back.
Maybe 6 months ago, you were on the show and we talked about kids and divorce. I'm really excited to have you on because I think kids, especially during the holidays, is just such a tough time. So before we get into it, I want to talk about Don's background because he really is qualified, much, much more than qualified to talk about this. He has a PhD in clinical psychology. Is that right, Don?
Yes.
Don is the executive director of the Center for Divorce Education, the company that produces two parenting classes, Children in Between and their newest one, Children in Between for Kids. They're classes that benefit divorced men and women and their children. And Dr. Gordon is internationally recognized as one of the top experts in the field of parent-child relationships. He's been at this for three decades, researching and working in the field, and he's also a past professor at Emory University and currently an emeritus professor at Ohio University. So, Don, thank you so much for taking the time to share this with my listeners.
I'm very happy to do that.
All right. So before we get into the six evidence-based approaches in helping kids through divorce, let me ask you, why do you think divorce is so difficult for kids? I mean, you know, it sounds kind of like a canned question, but you're such an expert on the subject that I'd really like to hear what you have to say about it.
Well, it's their family's disrupted. Their stability, their sense of stability and security is really threatened. And they're losing their family and they're losing they fear they're losing at least one parent, and they may not see very much of that parent. And most of the time, kids will miss a parent. They go for a day or two without seeing a parent. They really miss them. With divorce, they're going to be going for a lot more than a day or two without seeing both of their parents.
Right.
So it really, really hits home and really hurts them. And no matter what age they're at, when it happens, it has risks associated with that age when the divorce occurs at that age. So it's tough on young kids and it's tough on teens.
And then in addition to feeling like they're losing a parent or missing a parent, then there's the conflict between their parents, right? I mean, I would say that's the most stressful part for a kid, I would think, seeing their parents at odds with each other, fighting.
Right. And when they're, when they see their parents at odds and when the parents are fighting because of what's happening in the parents' brains and the fight or flight, they're not sensitive to the stress it's causing on their kids. They simply physically can't be sensitive because they're in a fight or flight mode. So the kids are stressed out and the parents don't know it. So they may continue to fight in front of the kids because they're just not paying attention to them.
Okay, so you are offering six evidence-based approaches in helping kids through divorce. And you say that if parents learn these and share them with their children, it can ease kids' fear, stress, and anxiety. So I'm going to list the six approaches, and then you can kind of just give an explanation about each one.
Okay.
And by the way, everybody, Don wrote this as an article on Divorce Girl Smiling. So I'm reading right from Don's article, But in the podcast, you're going to get a little more than what's online, although it's a great article. Okay, the first one is learn about the myths many kids believe, such as, and here are some of the myths, they caused the split, meaning the kids did, they aren't part of a family anymore, or they have to take care of their parents. So what are you saying here? If parents learn what these myths are, they can help?
Yeah, they can reassure the kids. I mean, a common myth is that kids will think that they had something to do with divorce. They caused the divorce. They had some part in the divorce. And sometimes it's because the parents are arguing about the kids. They're maybe criticizing the other parent's parenting methods. You know, oh, you're too lenient. You let the kids get away with everything. Or you're too strict. And then the kids hear that their names are mentioned. And then the parents divorced and they figured, oh, you know, this is, you know, it's my fault. This happens in intact families too, but parents will disagree about how the other parents deals with the kids.
That's so sad. I just, my heart breaks. So what can parents do? You say that the approach is to learn about the myths. Do they talk to their kids about this? What do they?
Yes. You ask them questions, you know, like kids are not going to volunteer that they think they caused a divorce. They're just not going to do that. And quite often they can't articulate that.
So instead of that, they act out or they withdraw or they show it in some other unhealthy way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. They'll be inattentive in school. It can be subtle. They'll just have a hard time concentrating in school and the parents aren't going to know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or in more extreme cases, they'll be very defiant and disobedient.
Or drugs, or anything.
When they get older, yes.
Right. Or, you know, a girl who's promiscuous. It could be anything.
Took the words out of my, yeah, unprotected sex and, you know, frequent sex. And that's actually more likely to happen. Kids will get sexually active at an early age, particularly girls, especially if they've lost their dads, if the dads aren't seeing them for whatever reason, then they're more likely to seek out a boy who will give them love and affection. And, you know, for a teenage girl, the best way to get a boy to attach to you is to have sex with him.
Wow. I'm sure there's a lot of very worried mothers right now listening to this. So this is really good stuff. So tell me how you tell a kid it's not your fault. How do you bring it up?
Well, first of all, you need to see if they have some of those feelings that they think it might have been their fault. And even if they don't admit to thinking it's their fault, just to reassure them, you know, your mother and I, we split up, and give them some explanation. We stopped loving each other, but we're never going to stop loving you. But it's between, you know, your mother and me. We couldn't work it out, and it had nothing to do with you. And I know you don't want this to happen, but you can't do anything about it. It's an adult problem.
And Don, is this a one-time thing, or are you supposed to like reiterate this a bunch of times?
Well, I think I would be careful and reiterate it several times and not just say it one time.
Okay.
So the children reassured. Another thing is that, you know, letting a kid know it's not their job to take care of the parents. A lot of times, particularly if the kids are a little bit older, they see the parents grieving or being upset, and they'll do what they can to kind of like reassure them and take care of them. Or I can't go play with my friends because my mom will miss me too much. You know, that's the kid's taking on an adult responsibility in that case, and that's developmentally not appropriate.
And I think you hit on such a great point that kids won't express this. A kid isn't going to say, "Mom, I feel like I have to take care of you. It's really bothering me." They're just going to act out in other behaviors. They're not going to say anything. They're going to hold it in, right?
Right. And a lot of kids their emotional literacy is low, and their parents also maybe, they just don't have much of a vocabulary for expressing feelings.
Right.
So it doesn't mean they're not having the feelings, it's simply they don't have the words to express those feelings.
Right, young.
It's surprising how few emotional words kids will use. So part of our parents' job is to teach them what these different words mean.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to number two, learn how the brain works, where their animal brain prevents their wise brain from weighing in when they are in fight or of flight. I thought it was fight or flight.
It is fight or
Oh,
flight.
then that's a typo.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about that.
Well, it's true of parents and parents in the Children in Between Parents program. If they learn that the that their fight or flight reaction or instinct is comes from the amygdala or an animal brain, and when your amygdala is activated, you can't access the abilities from your neocortex or your wise brain. You can't show empathy. You can't take another person's point of view. You can't be a calm problem solver. There's a lot of things you can't do when you're in fight or flight mode because our bodies are wired to react quickly and get us out of danger. So when kids learn that their brains work this way, then they'll have a little bit more understanding about what there's times in which they are, you know, having temper tantrums, they're really upset, and they're doing things they don't normally do. And then when they're feeling really stressed and frightened or angry, we teach them a number of ways to calm their brain.
Okay.
And these ways that really are effective.
And so parents can learn how to teach their kids how to do this.
Right. And the best way to teach them is to demonstrate it, is to show them, that have the parents use the same techniques themselves. Like, for instance, I'm really upset at your mother for getting you here late. I'm really angry about that. I need to take some deep breaths and calm down. And then have the child see you taking deep breaths and say, okay, now I feel better. Now I can think more clearly.
Right, because kids mimic everything their parents do.
Yes.
I want to move on to number 3 of 6 evidence-based approaches in helping kids through divorce. But before I do that, I want to say that these 6 approaches that we're talking about are what you're going to learn if you sign up for Don's class, which he created and produced, called Children in Between Online. And it is a class that parents can take. They are often required by the court to take a parenting class, and this is a good one. And this is where parents learn all that stuff. Now, there's another class that he and his company just developed called Children in Between for Kids, and that's a class for kids and parents to watch together. So they're both wonderful classes. I've seen them. They're interactive. They have good characters. They get the kid involved. I mean, the second one does. And I just think it's great work, Don. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, thank you, Jackie.
Okay, you're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with your host, me, Jackie Pilisoff, and my guest, Don Gordon, who is the producer of Children in Between and Children in Between Online. So we're moving on to number 3 of 6 evidence-based approaches in helping kids through divorce. Number 3, learn that by naming the feelings they're having, kids can learn to tame those feelings. What does that mean?
If you articulate to yourself or even out loud or to someone else what you're feeling, that feeling dissipates. It becomes less intense, less negative.
Okay, give me an example.
I called an Uber to get to the airport, and they're really late, so I'm scared I'm going to miss my flight. So if you say I'm scared, you'll be less scared. If you simply don't articulate it, it's, oh, crap. You know, you're worrying, and you don't name the feeling you're having, that feeling will still have more power over you. Or if you're a child and if your parents are fighting and it scares you or it angers you, to tell yourself, this makes me mad that mom and dad are fighting, or this scares me they're fighting. I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay, you know why I just almost started laughing when you said about the Uber example? I was recently on a plane and we hit a really turbulent, you know, patch. And for like 10 minutes, it was really bumpy. And I just look at my boyfriend and I go, I'm really scared right now, but I know it's going to be okay. And I was fine. So I guess I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's right. It's a real simple thing. And it's actually functional magnetic resonance imagery that proves what I just said, that when people are feeling really stressed and their amygdala is activated and the brain scan shows that, when they name the feeling they're having, the activation decreases. You can actually see that on the brain scan.
So for kids, a lot of times they might not even know what they're feeling. So how do you deal with that? Do you say are you scared? How are you feeling? Are you scared? Are you angry? Are you both? Tell me the feelings. Would that help?
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely helps. And there's another thing that's in the kids program. There's a feeling wheel which labels all the different feelings you can have, and sometimes say point to the feeling that you're having, or is it this, this, or this? But it is. Make some guesses as to what you think they're feeling, and see if they recognize any of those feelings.
Oh, I really like that. Okay, I'm going to move on to number four. Learn to change their thinking, thus they can change their feelings.
Yeah. Thinking begets feelings, and feelings beget thinking too. But if you're thinking about things that are are depressing and sad, you're more likely to feel sad.
So teach these kids how to shift their focus as well. Say
right.
if you're scared because you think there's a monster under your bed, then just go back to bed and start thinking of your birthday party that you're going to this weekend.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And also let them know that thoughts change, just kind of like the clouds in the sky. They drift along and they move along and they change. Pretty soon they're gone. And let them know that your thoughts that are bothering you, they will change. Don't worry about it. It'll get better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number five, learn how to get themselves out of loyalty binds when parents put them in the middle of their conflicts.
Yeah, this is something that that parents unwittingly do a lot, and that they're not aware that they're putting the child in a loyalty bind. A loyalty bind is when you, whatever choice you make, you're gonna anger or upset one of your two parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if the parent is grilling you about the other parent's new girlfriend, and what do they do? Does she sleep overnight? You know, the child feels like they have to answer the question because they're being asked the question by a parent. But on the other hand, if they give the answer that they're being disloyal, and that one parent will get mad at the other parent because of what they said. Mm-hmm. So that's a real loyalty bind.
So and how do you get out of that?
Well, we teach children how to use I messages. An I message is where you state your feelings when you're caught in, when you're about something the other person is doing. You don't blame them. You simply tell them how their behavior is making you feel. I feel uncomfortable when you ask me these questions.
Basically, as parents, you can tell your kids to say that to you.
Yes.
Please tell mommy when I'm saying something that makes you uncomfortable. I want to hear that. You are not in trouble if you do that.
Exactly. Exactly. You got to give them permission. Okay. Yes.
All right. Number six, learn whom to trust and whom to ask for help when they're very stressed.
Yeah, well, tell children when you're really stressed and when you're with one of your parents and you can't ask them because they're involved in it, you can think of an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent or a teacher or a church leader, somebody that you have a trusting relationship with and who's mature and has good judgment, and then you can ask that person for help. And in the children's program, we show examples of a child asking. Each of the different seven chapters has a different child host, and we show the picture of a child asking the teacher for help, or asking the school counselor for help, or asking their best friend for help, or asking, in one case, her grandmother passed away, and she's pulling up the memory of her grandmother and asking her for help, having a conversation with her grandmother.
Oh, I just love that, and mm-hmm. really, I want to mention again before we close out here. Children in between online and children in between for kids. Two great classes, one for parents and kids to watch together. So I want to ask you one more question, Don. Do you have any advice for parents as far as when it comes to their kids for the holidays? Like what's going to happen at Christmas? Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, they might be with the other parent. And like, do you have any advice?
Plan ahead. Try to anticipate problems and get those resolved ahead of time instead of at the last minute trying to arrange whose house they're going to, know in advance of the children, know what to expect, and you know, keep yourself calm, to do some deep breathing before you take the child to the other parent's house or to other relatives' houses. It's a period where the children are supposed to be celebratory, so withhold your criticism about the way the other side is doing things.
Yes, that's true. And you're right. Like if the kids want to know where they're going, they don't want to, like, not, they're not sure, back and forth, we're not sure yet, we'll let you know. That, like, kills kids, because they want to kind of know what to expect. Maybe they have gifts for people and they want to, you know, make sure that they know they're going to see them to give the gifts. So, you know, you hit on a great point.
Yeah. You know, just remember that the children want to be in a celebratory mood, and give the other parent permission to call them if you're not with the children on a certain day on the holidays. Give the other parent permission to call or FaceTime the child, because they're missing them intensely too.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let that be an issue to have a fight about.
Right. Well, I just love this. And Don, I really, really appreciate your being on here. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, Don Gordon, who is the creator of two courses, Children in Between and Children in Between for Kids. If you go to Divorce Girl Smiling, you can find links to both of those classes, or you can just Google it. But I will say they're both wonderful classes. It's such a small investment too. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Don. You can get Children in Between for Kids for $19.99 right now.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, $20. To help you to learn how to really help your kids. If you're paying your lawyer $300 or $400 or $500 an hour, think of what a small investment that is. Don, thank you so much for being on the show. And listeners, thank you for listening and taking the time to learn about strategies for your children from a real expert, and wishing everybody safe, healthy, happy holidays. If you want to learn more, visit divorcedgirlsmiling.com.